This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
Welcome to Rad Voices. Rad Voices is a monthly series on the Lynn Williams Activist Toolkit podcast that lets activists tell their own stories. This show was made possible through a CKLN legacy grant. Rad Voices is produced on traditional unceded Mississauga territory in Toronto. I'm Steph Pinch. This month, I spoke with Janice Lee. Janice is a spoken word poet, singer-songwriter, and activist based in Kitchener-Waterloo. She is the artistic director of the KW Poetry Slam and a member of the Safer Spaces Committee for Spoken Word Canada. She will be facilitating a discussion on anti-racism at the upcoming Anarchist Book Fair in Kitchener-Waterloo in a safe space for people of color. She continues to perform solo and with her band, Janice Lee and the Free Radicals, about systemic barriers to social justice. I spoke with her during one of her rare free moments while she was in a community center in Kitchener-Waterloo via Skype.
Hi, my name is Janice Lee. I live in Kitchener on the Six Nations territory by the Grand River. I am a spoken word artist, an activist, and I am a singer-songwriter. Basically, I like to use art as a tool for engaging in conversations surrounding social justice. I used to function with art as in one sphere and politics as another sphere, and that's how I envisioned them in my head, as if they were two different, you know, worlds that could not collide. But through a series of personal events, like events in my life, I was like, no, what am I doing? Of course art and politics can be fused and be used together. The roots of spoken word, like, there's a lot of different traditions it's drawing upon. Just the oral storytelling tradition is one, which basically every culture has. And then a lot of the spoken word and kind of slam scenes right now currently draw from the beat poets and also hip hop culture, and which all of these, particularly hip hop, draw on, right? People talking about the issues of today, of the people right now, and talking about injustices. So basically, spoken word has always been about right now, what's happening in our community right now. And it has been folk artists who have been writing those stories, kind of legitimizing struggles by turning them into pieces of art. I saw Carlos Andres Gomez come to Laurier. And that was the first time I was exposed to it. And then the Women's Center at Laurier was putting on the Vagina Monologues. And one year they started doing another section called Voices from the Vulva. But they were asking people to write their own monologues to perform. So that's when I kind of wrote my first piece, and it was called Body Affirmation, Life Affirmation. So I performed there. And then when the G20 was happening in Toronto, before that started, I ran an event called G20 Poets When Words Resist. And I've got together 20 poets who were going to present their own writings. A handful of these events happened in the community, and we realized, myself and a few other poets, that we needed a constantly available stage. So that's when we got serious and started the KW Poetry Slam. For me, the most important thing that spoken word can do is connect with people and create a community around the issues that we're talking about. I've been talking about race a lot more recently, very explicitly on stage. I like to call attention to the demographics of the audience that I'm performing to, in a celebratory way. So I'll say something in Korean and ask, like, how many Korean people are in the audience? And maybe two people or no people will respond. And I'll be like, all right, there's two Korean people in the audience. My people are here. You know, and then I can be like, okay, where are my immigrant people and people of color at? And people get to cheer for themselves. I used to do this bit where I'd say, okay, where are all my white people at? And then they would cheer. But I think it's kind of weird. It's kind of oddly white supremacist, so I've stopped doing that bit. But I just talk about that now, and everyone gets to laugh at it. And just pointing out this demographic, because depending on the city I'm in, I will be performing sometimes to an all-white audience. And I'm doing really uncomfortable poems about race. And sometimes the audience really, I can see them physically get become uncomfortable. I'm talking about material that is challenging. But my role as the spoken word artist is not to please people and not to appease them. I want to challenge them. When people feel uncomfortable, that's okay. I don't want people to feel unsafe, but hopefully a little bit of discomfort can lead to some self-reflexive contemplation and maybe some conversations with the people they're sitting with. And I always like to call attention to that too. Like, I might make you feel uncomfortable. Maybe we can have a conversation about that after. Definitely in spaces that call themselves anarchist, it's often a lot of white people, not a lot of people of color. It's hard with groups that like want to identify with specific labels, whether that's feminist or anarchist or radical, anything like that. Those are ideals that we like believe in or subscribe to and we're striving to fulfill. You can't have a fully, like a completely perfect idealist anti-colonial space where all of us have come into a room and left our privilege behind or left any of the ingrained, you know, patriarchy or white privilege, whatever. It's hard. We're all unlearning that. It's a process, right? So yeah, when we call ourselves radicals, I think we call ourselves that with an ideal in mind. Right now, I've gotten really tired of going to anarchist events and being the only person of color. And then because there is a lack of representation of people of color, we're never talking about race. So an entire conversation is not even present. In the past, I've been really jaded about it and really full of anger. And I'm like, there's no space for me here, so I'm not going to try and make space for myself. But I've gotten past that stage right now. Right now, I have a lot of patience. I have a lot of love. And because I'm driven by, you know, the love I have for my friends who are of all different races, I want to be able to create spaces where everybody can feel welcome and included. It's interesting because with the word activist, you're an activist if you are trying to live out your life according to these ideal values, set of values that you have, right? And like me talking about anti-racism and promoting that in my poetry or in my songs, it's not like some cause that I've taken on, right? It's just, this is my embodied life and I'm trying to live in a dignified way by promoting those values in the spaces that I enter, right? So, and with art, because I've been doing a lot of organizing in art, like organizing spoken word events or organizing a music show, sometimes it's perceived by those who very actively identify as activists as not activist work. Like you have to be organizing a conference to be an activist, or you need to be on the front lines doing direct action to be an activist. And there are so many things that are not as visible and not as space-taking that I would consider activist work, right? Like doing healing work, doing conversation. Just like sitting down and having conversations with people who are burning out. I find a lot of the emotional support work women are doing, and it's really invisible. And in spoken word, Spoken Word Canada is the overarching body that governs all of the registered slam scenes or spoken word scenes in Canada. And right now I am on the board as a co-chair and also chair of the Safer Spaces Committee, which is new. Because finally in the spoken word community, we are actively talking about safer spaces in relation to anti-oppression, where poets have gone on stage and done problematic poems, where poets have gone on stage and done poems that have racist underlines, or a lot of men going on stage and talking about like feminism or trying to be anti-patriarchal, but within their poem are being really problematic. And there has been some incidents in the slam community of, you know, people feeling unsafe, whether that's been an instance of verbal or sexual assault, and where organizers are finally having to admit that this is a problem. So now we're trying to create a national strategy on how we can be better with anti-oppression and safer spaces in slam. Because so many poets go on stage and are talking about social justice, we're not walking the talk, so to speak. So, and I remember when this was all happening and I was involved, I've been involved in this for the past year and a bit, and kind of just being really overwhelmed and tired and not wanting to take it on, thinking like, oh, why do I have to do all this in this spoken word scene? It's not activism. But I've come to the point of realizing that it is, because spoken word poets across Canada hold a lot of power. These are people who are going into high schools and running workshops for youth, being praised all across the country, poets laureate. So a lot of people who are doing a lot of public presentation of their work. So I think it's super important that we are engaging in this conversation on the spoken word scene so that poets aren't going into spaces and saying problematic stuff and like promoting things that are oppressive. I have really relearned and re-embraced how important it is to be gentle with myself, with other people, with my art, to like, so not be forceful ever. For example, if I'm engaging in a conversation with someone about male privilege or white privilege, and they're just not having it, they're being really defensive. They're saying all of the, you know, they're doing all the things that you would do at the first time you're ever being called in on your privilege, like making it about yourself, getting defensive, crying, maybe saying, oh, but I have a gay friend, you know, all these things, and just not forcing it on that person. It takes so much patience to engage in these conversations and to remind myself, like, Janice, be gentle with this person, be gentle with myself, to not become overwhelmed by how unsuccessful this conversation is going, and just be like, it takes 5 or 6 conversations before you can unlearn something that you've lived with your whole life, you know? So, and also like, just be gentle with the art when I'm presenting it. Like slam, oh my gosh. The first year I went to nationals, I was devastated after my first week I went to nationals, because I took everything in, and like the problematic poems, the good poems, the bad poems, I took everything in and took everything so seriously. And I was emotionally exhausted and felt like I never wanted to ever go back again. But this year, the second year I went to Nationals, the Canadian Festival of Spoken Word, I was like, understood what kind of mindset I need to go in, thinking like, embrace what is good for me and dismiss what is not. Just like when you get feedback on your writing, right? Take what works for you and dismiss what doesn't. So like, that poem was messed up. Whatever. Moving on, Janice. I can't, you know, take on every single battle and every single poem that I don't think was like perfect in terms of anti-oppression, and engage with that. So like, knowing what to take in, what to take out to for my own health, you know, that's important. What do I think would make the slam scene move forward? I think generally more joy in the scene, in the poetry that's performed, in the way that we put on events to make them more celebratory. Because sometimes, or often, you go to a spoken word event and you come out exhausted because you've just been pummeled with so much difficult emotional content that hasn't been uplifting, you know, and that gets tiring for audiences. I know people who like go to one slam event, think it's amazing, but they're like, I can't go again. It's too hard. We need to make it a sustainable forum where people can come back, where you get a full-bodied and a full range of all the good and the bad, where it's not just trauma all the time. And that was trauma with a T, not drama. I think generally in activism, we need to do that, you know? That's why we always all burn out. If we don't take time to be gentle, to celebrate, to nourish ourselves, I think that's really important.
That was Janice Lee, a singer-songwriter, spoken word artist, and activist. To find out more about her art, follow the links in the podcast description below. Want to know more about some of the tools Janice mentioned? Find tools about anti-oppression, calling out privilege, avoiding burnout, and more on the Lynn Williams Activist Toolkit. Just go to www.rabble.ca/toolkit. Anyone with a rabble.ca account can add, edit, or suggest tools. Thanks for listening to Rad Voices. Stay solid.
And a few other poets, that we needed a constantly available stage. So that's when we like got serious and started the KW Poetry Slam. For me, the most important thing that spoken word can do is connect with people and create a community around the issues that we're talking about. I've been talking about race a lot more recently, very explicitly on stage, I like to call attention to the demographics of the audience that I'm performing to in a celebratory way. So I'll say something in Korean and ask like how many Korean people are in the audience, and maybe two people or no people will respond, and I'll be like, all right, there's two Korean people in the audience, my people are here. You know, and then I can be like, okay, where are my immigrant people and people of color at? And people get to cheer for themselves. I used to do this bit where I'd say, okay, where are all my white people at? And then they would cheer. But I think it's kind of weird. It's kind of oddly white supremacist. So I stopped doing that bit. But I just talk about that now. And everyone gets to laugh at it. And just pointing out this demographic. Because depending on the city I'm in, I will be performing sometimes to an all-white audience. And I'm doing really uncomfortable poems about race. And sometimes the audience really, I can see them physically get become uncomfortable. I'm talking about material that is challenging. But my role as the spoken word artist is not to please people and not to appease them. I want to challenge them. When people feel uncomfortable, that's okay. I don't want people to feel unsafe. But hopefully a little bit of discomfort can lead to some self-reflexive contemplation and maybe some conversations with the people they're sitting with. And I always like to call attention to that too. Like, I might make you feel uncomfortable. Maybe we can have a conversation about that after. Definitely in spaces that call themselves anarchist, it's often a lot of white people, not a lot of people of color. It's hard with groups that like want to identify with specific labels, whether that's feminist or anarchist or radical, anything like that. Those are ideals that we like believe in or subscribe to and we're striving to fulfill. You can't have a fully, like a completely perfect idealist anti-colonial space where all of us have come into a room and left our privilege behind or left any of the ingrained, you know, patriarchy or white privilege, whatever. It's hard. We're all unlearning that. It's a process, right? So yeah, when we call ourselves radicals, I think we call ourselves that with an ideal in mind. Right now, I've gotten really tired of going to anarchist events and being the only person of color. And then because there is a lack of representation of people of color, we're never talking about race. So an entire conversation is not even present. In the past, I've been really, the word, jaded about it and really full of anger and some like, there's no space for me here, so I'm not going to try and make space for myself. But I've gotten past that stage right now. Right now, I have a lot of patience. I have a lot of love. And because I'm driven by, you know, the love I have for my friends who are of all different races, I want to be able to create spaces where everybody can feel welcome and included. It's interesting because with the word activist, you're an activist if you are trying to live out your life according to these ideal values, set of values that you have, right? And like me talking about anti-racism and promoting that in my poetry or in my songs, it's not like some cause that I've taken on, right? It's just, this is my embodied life and I'm trying to live in a dignified way by promoting those values in the spaces that I enter, right? So, and with art, because I've been doing a lot of organizing in art, like organizing spoken word events or organizing a music show, it's perceived by those who very actively identify as activists as not activist work. Like you have to be organizing a conference to be an activist, or you need to be on the front lines doing direct action to be an activist. And there are so many things that are not as visible and not as space-taking that I would consider activist work, right? Like doing healing work, doing conversation, just like sitting down and having conversations with people who are burning out. I find a lot of the emotional support work women are doing, and it's really invisible. And in spoken word, Spoken Word Canada is the overarching body that governs all of the registered slam scenes or spoken word scenes in Canada. And right now I am on the board as a co-chair and also chair of the Safer Spaces Committee, which is new because finally in the spoken word community, we are actively talking about safer spaces in relation to anti-oppression, where poets have gone on stage and done problematic poems, where poets have gone on stage and done poems that had racist underlines, or a lot of men going on stage and talking about like feminism or trying to be anti-patriarchal, but within their poem are being really problematic. And there has been some incidents in the slam community of, you know, people feeling unsafe, whether that's been an instance of verbal or sexual assault, and where organizers are finally having to admit that this is a problem. So now we're trying to create a national strategy on how we can be better with anti-oppression and safer spaces in slam, because so many poets go on stage and are talking about social justice. We're not walking the talk, so to speak. So, and I remember when this was all happening and I was involved, I've been involved in this for the past year and a bit, and kind of just being really overwhelmed and tired and not wanting to take it on, thinking like, oh, why do I have to do all this in this book and word scene? It's not activism. But I've come to the point of realizing that it is, because spoken word poets across Canada hold a lot of power. These are people who are going into high schools and running workshops for youth, being praised all across the country, poets laureate. So a lot of people who are doing a lot of public presentation of their work. So I think it's super important that we are engaging in this conversation on the spoken word scene so that poets aren't going into spaces and saying problematic stuff and like promoting things that are oppressive. I have really relearned and re-embraced how important it is to be gentle with myself, with other people, with my art, to like, so not be forceful ever. For example, if I'm engaging in a conversation with someone about male privilege or white privilege, and they're just not having it, they're being really defensive. They're saying all of the, you know, they're doing all the things that you would do at the first time you're ever being called in on your privilege, like making it about yourself, getting defensive, crying, maybe saying, oh, but I have a gay friend, you know, all these things, and just not forcing it on that person. It takes so much patience to engage in these conversations and to remind myself, like, Janice, be gentle with this person, be gentle with myself, to not be come overwhelmed by how unsuccessful this conversation is going, and just be like, it takes 5 or 6 conversations before you can unlearn something that you've lived with your whole life, you know? So, and also like, just be gentle with the art when I'm presenting it. Like slam, oh my gosh. The first year I went to nationals, I was devastated after my first week I went to nationals, because I took everything in. And like the problematic poems, the good poems, the bad poems, I took everything in and took everything so seriously that I was emotionally exhausted and felt like I never wanted to ever go back again. But this year, the second year I went to Nationals, the Canadian Festival of Spoken Word, I was like, understood what kind of mindset I need to go in, thinking like, embrace what is good for me and dismiss what is not. Just like when you get feedback on your writing, right? Take what works for you and dismiss what doesn't. So like, that poem was messed up. Whatever. Moving on, Janice. I can't, you know, take on every single battle and every single poem that I don't think was like perfect in terms of anti-oppression and engage with that. So like, knowing what to take in, what to take out to for my own health, you know, that's important. What do I think would make the slam scene move forward? I think generally more joy in the scene. In the poetry that's performed, in the way that we put on events to make them more celebratory. Because sometimes, or often, you go to a spoken word event and you come out exhausted because you've just been pummeled with so much difficult emotional content that hasn't been uplifting, you know? And that gets tiring for audiences. I know people who would like go to one slam event, think it's amazing, but they're like, I can't go again. It's too hard. We need to make it a sustainable forum where people can come back, where you get a full-bodied and a full range of all the good and the bad, where it's not just trauma all the time. And that was trauma with a T, not drama. I think generally in activism, we need to do that, you know? That's why we always all burn out. If we don't take it time to be gentle, to celebrate, to nourish ourselves, I think that's really important.
That was Janice Lee, a singer-songwriter, spoken word artist, and activist. To find out more about her art, follow the links in the podcast description below. Want to know more about some of the tools Janice mentioned? Find tools about anti-oppression, calling out privilege, avoiding burnout, and more on the Lynn Williams Activist Toolkit. Just go to www.rabble.ca/toolkit. Anyone with a rabble.ca account can add, edit, or suggest tools. Thanks for listening to Rad Voices. Stay solid.